Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What shapes your self-image? Is it human reason, or is it God's revelation? I'm going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we confess that we often do not understand many of the truths that are revealed in your Holy Word. But we thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to open these truths and to give us new pictures of the world and of our place in it. Today, Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us in understanding why you have created us and why you have given us the responsibilities and the opportunities that are ours. In Christ's name, amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the and the rain in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole.
Friends in Christ, in the 8th Psalm, King David of old asks a question that has been pondered by millions of people. What is man that you, God, are mindful of him? How would you answer that question? Dr. Wallace Williams, pastor of the Soledad Presbyterian Church in La Jolla, California, says, in answering this question, do you want to be imprisoned by reason or liberated by revelation? And so today my theme is your self-image, based on pure reason or on revelation. Now, here, I believe, will be your answer, or similar to your answer, if it is only based on reason. If we look to the world's population, we can conclude that being one person among the billions of people makes us rather insignificant. Now, that is a common held viewpoint. We talk about the value of the human being, and yet off the cuff, we'll get a word like this. Commenting on a bombing in the Middle East here a few days ago, this is what the person said. While it is tragic when anyone is killed in these street battles, we have to remember it's no big thing. Only 37 people died. Here's another one. If you are pregnant and do not want to have this child for one reason or another, all you have to do is have an abortion. It's your choice. Now, is that not rather degrading of the person conceived and the parents who have made this child a possibility? Does that parent have that much freedom? The masses of people will say so. But what does it do to the significance of the individual? If you are vacationing in Estes Park, Colorado, one of my favorite places to go, and you drive up Trail Ridge Road, you are surrounded by the majestic Rocky Mountains. What does it tell you? It tells you that you are, in comparison to those mountains, a pretty small part of God's creation. Or if you are attending a football game in one of the largest stadiums of the Big 12, you will hear it announced that the attendance today is 87,000. And you look around and you see all of these people and you say, 87,000. I guess I really am just a dot, isn't that right? Now, the point behind this is these verbal pictures can lead us to conclude by reason that we are pretty small fish in a mighty ocean. We really don't amount to too much, and very few would miss us if we were not around. This is a way that many people view themselves. There is no other way to do it, because if all we have is creation to compare ourselves with, then we are rather small people. However, it does not have to be that way. If you ask this same biblical question, what is man that you, God, are mindful of him? And that's the generic meaning, male and female. You hear something from God's word that you don't hear out in society. You don't hear it as far as science is concerned. And I have a great deal of respect for science, but in some places, they don't have the answers either. If you have it from God's revelation, then you will read a word like is recorded in the 8th Psalm. Here the psalmist is saying, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. God, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, and here comes the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. Or in some places, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all that swims the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now that also seems to set in very nicely with what you read in the first chapter of Genesis, the creation story. It says there in chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, and let this man have the opportunity to rule over the creation, over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that walk on this earth. Man is a crowning work of God's creation. And in no way is he insignificant. So we come back to the scriptures and we find that if we base our self-image on what is revealed to us in God's holy word, it really is quite different from what we would get looking out into the rest of creation. We are not God, the Bible tells us. We have to remember that. Sometimes we want to try to elevate ourselves to that position. But we are the most exalted part of God's creation. God does not want us to dwell on our smallness. Humility is not self-depreciation. No, we do not have all of the answers to God's mysteries. But what we have, and that's what makes us a crowning work of his creation, is a mind with which we can think, a will with which we can make a decision, and a soul that is eternal. And he has commissioned those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord to carry the message of his holy word to the far parts of the earth. He has caused us to reach out to human beings, and in the name of Almighty God who has created them, to assist them in their walk through life. That's who we are. And so the disease in this old world, and the reason the disease is here is not that God ordained it that way. He made all things perfect, but because of sin, we live in a fallen world. And a part of that fallen world is disease. But look at what God has done. He has given to men and women minds that could look into the human body and could begin to care for it. We can now enjoy many more years on this earth because of medical science. No, not all the answers are found there. But he gave mankind the opportunity to work with the disease and to conquer it, at least in some ways. Look at the compassion he put into the hearts of certain people. And they brought into this world an organization known as hospice. Visit the hospice in your community and see the hand of God there, as they ministered to people of all kinds in the last days of their life. Look at our world. There is poverty here. Now we have built our huge economic systems, and as we are often told, there is an amazing amount of wealth in this world. And that's fine. It shows that men and women have developed their talents. They have been successful in the business world or wherever else they might have come from. And there is a lot of wealth. But there is also a lot of poverty. I find no place in the Bible where it says that we got to divide this all up so that we're all equal. But rather, I wonder if it does not say to those of us who are individuals with more than we really need, or a nation that is really blessed, that we need to take under strong consideration from Almighty God to feed those who are hungry. For it is he who said to those whom he has given much, of him much is expected. We have the ability in America, I am told by a very successful farmer here in the state of Iowa, to feed the entire world. Now, I don't have the facts for that, and I only have the word of this farmer, but he's a rather quiet man, and he just doesn't go around boasting. But when I was asking him about the fertility of the soil in our state, he said, oh, it's great. And with all these new seeds and fertilizers that God has given man the intelligence to develop, we can feed the whole world. Now, what does this say to us if the world is suffering? I know that it is much more difficult than just standing here and recording a sermon to be preached to you people. The politics get in the way. But voicing the word of God over the political systems, we have to remember that he has created us just a little bit lower than the angel. And he has done that because he has a mission for us. He has given us the knowledge to get rid of some of the problems that are before our society and culture around the world. But having said all of that, friend, he has made us a little lower than the angels in order that we can tell the story of Jesus Christ, feeding the hungry, trying to deal with poverty, anxious to blot out disease, are very important callings of the Church of Jesus Christ. They will make life much more pleasant for millions of people. But let me tell you, there is another thing that is even more important, another mission, and that is to go around this world and to talk to people about who they really are. To tell them to be sure that you are precious and important in God's eyes, and that you are created in his image. He wants you. But you also have to say, if you want to fulfill that mission that God has sent you on, because he has made you just a little bit lower than the angels, to tell them that when you sin, and we all do that, that throws us out of a relationship with God. And what in the world does that mean? What it means that we are not living in a daily situation where God speaks to us and where we speak to God. We're pretty much going through life on our own decisions, as they might be influenced by, at the best, human beings. God says, no, there's more to it than this. You are a sinner. You have been born that way. And we can't forget that. But remember, that sin can be taken away, because Jesus Christ came into this world. He suffered and he died at the cross of Calvary. And there he made the full payment for the sins of the world. And then he offers to this whole world that salvation. Now notice what I said, and this is based completely on what God's word says. He offers this salvation to all of those empowered by the Holy Spirit, will say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come in. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands there anxious to receive us into his kingdom and make us his children forever and ever. That's what it's all about. That's why he made us just a little bit lower than the angel. Understand, friend? You are a very important person in the life of some other individual. As you live in that personal relationship with God, it means that He's the one who's going to walk with you wherever you go. What does it really mean? I think sometimes we can use that word personal relationship until it gets to be almost meaningless. But it means this, that just as we live in a personal relationship with another human being, so we live that same way with God. And so we open our Bibles or a devotion booklet, and God gives us a word for the day. And then we come back and make our request known to Him. I give an example in my own life. Just this morning, in reading my devotions, I heard the Lord Jesus say, "Be merciful as I am merciful." That's gone with me all day long. That's that personal word from God that comes to us. People, we can't live without that. People can't live without that, at least, and be happy, have a fulfilled life. And so He says to those of us who are created in His image and are asking the question, "What is man, God, that Thou art mindful of him?" God is saying, "You're very important to me. You're the one who's going to carry the message around this world." So the psalm is closed with a word of prayer. "O Lord, my God, how great you are." And that's our prayer of thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father today, isn't it? It is this: you have created me in your image. You want me to serve you by serving others, for the things that will make this life more pleasant for them while they are here, but above all will give them the promise of eternal life, when no longer is this their place of residence. That's the answer, friend. Is your self-image based on what you learn from the things of this world, or is it based on revelation? Amen. Father in heaven, let us live with that word from your revelation, that we are created in your image, and that in your sight we are precious and important people. First, you want to redeem us. Create that faith within us, Lord. And then you want to use us and create within us that desire. Help us to understand, O God, that you want us to live humbly, but that we do not dwell on our smallness, but rather on what you want us to do. Help us to understand that humility is not self-depreciation. May we give you glory for all the good things you have given to us, including our mission in life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the light of God's Word will outshine all sorrows and suffering and give you courage, comfort, and peace. We are asking our radio listeners for help in sharing our word with a friend, a relative, or a neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so that no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is funded entirely through free will gifts and donations from individuals and congregations. Donations enable us to buy time on radio stations throughout the U.S. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.